welcome back to the broadcast. Apparently, Vicki's done some research back into Swizz. And Vicki, welcome back.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
From the context of the way they were using it, I believe they used the word Swizz, where we use the word swipe. And
okay, there you go.
Yeah, meaning that the ID card would probably have the magnetic strip and may even have an RFID on it. So that way, which, and they're absolutely right, it is ludicrous to think that a new ID card like this is going to solve any problems at all, because people buy fake ID all the time. So
so we need the microchip.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, that will be their proposed solution to the problem, is for everybody to be microchipped. And,
right,
you know,
right.
First they'll start with the pedophiles, and then they're working on people that have medical conditions, and then it will be the children, you know, because your children might disappear, and if they're chipped, then we'll be able to find them. And
aren't they using the example right now of chipping livestock and animals?
Yes, yes, as a matter of fact. And that document that I sent you, you know, where the USDA is planning on that kind of a tracking system.
That's correct, yes.
That will be exactly the same kind of tracking system that they will use for people, because a person is just a different kind of animal in a computer system like that. You know, you've got goats, geese, pigs, chickens, cows, humans.
Right.
You know, and
we're all together, aren't we?
Sure. And if all you're doing is tracking births and deaths and locations and everything, a system that was developed for animals works just as well for people.
There you have it.
So they'll be able to track and monitor every living thing.
And there's the whole purpose of the RFID card chip.
Mm-hmm.
There you
go. So I hope you post that link to that little ditty, you know, that the people in the UK did, because that's really cute.
Yeah, we're gonna work on doing that. We get together on Monday or Tuesday night, the three of us, and we'll try and get that done. You're overloading me here, which is fine.
You know, sorry about that.
You're on top of the research more than anyone else. You're really on top of the research, and so it's very, very nice to be working with you on all this.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Vicki.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tremendous research on her behalf, and there's room for more. We're all kind of working as a group to connect the dots with documentation, which is very easy to do at this point in time. It's very simple. And keep in mind, the internationalization of our federal government started as far back as 1970, August 26th, and it was signed by Richard Milhouse Nixon, or Milhouse Nixon, providing for details and transfers of federal employees to international organizations, Executive Order 11552, August 26th, 1970. So that this has been ongoing. It's, you know, when people blame this war as Bush's war, well, he's just the present occupier of the White House. It's another United Nations police action that's going on in Iraq right now. And who knows how many people have been conscripted into the military as a result of this disaster down south, when they're left with absolutely nothing. And then, well, they have the option of joining the military. Let's move back to the phones. Rick in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
In connection with what you were saying earlier about tracking animals.
Yes.
Right now, there's something coming through that's killing animals here in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
They appears to be a flu among dogs and cats.
Oh, boy.
That's what a neighbor of mine told me.
Uh-huh.
Their postman, their mailman, told them that and said it appeared to have come up from Louisiana when people were evacuating pets up into this area. It came with them.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether that is natural, or whether it's part of the UN attempt at rewilding by destroying all foreign creatures, critters, whatever you want to call them. Who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty insane the way things are coming about.
If it is natural, it sure is convenient for them and easy for them to exploit. Just let it run its course, and everything will be destroyed except what was native here.
Yes. Yes. There's reason to be very, very concerned about created pandemics and epidemics.
Yes.
As then they have the motivation for vaccination, which I don't know of one good vaccination at this point that you can trust. And there's the crux of the problem, killing off the population of the world. And also keep in mind, these weather anomalies are happening here. They're happening in other parts of the world as well. And so this global thing about weather modification and environmental modification is very, very paramount. I appreciate your thoughts.
Chris?
Yes?
Got one more thought.
Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sure.
There's 100,000 people that died in China recently as a result of a hurricane over in China. That's been reported as well. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
That's PokerFace.com. PokerFace.com is their website. PokerFace does the work. Let's have a parting shot from Rick. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm going to, just for the sake of argument, so to speak, play devil's advocate, be the gentleman, be the diplomat, whatever you want to call it. Let's give them the benefit, just for a second, that maybe all that stuff occurred naturally. Maybe it was not man-made. Okay, even at that, they're still using it to full advantage to destroy everything that they can.
There you go.
I mean, I'll give them that. Maybe it happened naturally, but they could sure get help in a whole lot quicker and a lot more efficiently than they did.
Well, the purpose of FEMA was taking control, and they did. And we have foreign people involved under the guise of the U.N. system because we've asked the U.N. system for help. That's the Hegelian dialectic that I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, y'all are blessed. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Here we see U.S. accepts U.N. offer to rush aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina dated September 4th, listeners. And there it is. Also, I was going to refer to Iran, Senate Resolution 82 from the 108th Congress, March 12, 2003, expressing the sense of the Senate concerning the continuous repression of freedoms within Iran and of individual human rights abuses, particularly with regard to women. That's Senate Resolution number 82, and who knows where that is right now. And before we go back to the phones, why you should oppose the USDA's mandatory property and animal surveillance program by Mary Zanoni, and she's a Ph.D. from Cornell and J.D. from Yale, executive director of Farm for Life. And she states that, and get this, poultry financiers and keepers of small flocks are facing a grave threat from a proposed government intrusion into their innocent choice of pastimes and way of life. For several years, the USDA has been working with the largest scale animal industry organizations. For example, the National Pork Producers, Monsanto Company, and Cargill Meat, to develop a mandatory National Animal Identification System, NAIS, quote, National Animal Identification System, end quote. However, most small-scale livestock producers, people who raise animals for their own food, and people who keep horses or livestock as companion animals do not know about the USDA's plans. The NAIS, once again, that is the National Animal Identification System, the NAIS, will drive small producers out of the market, will make people abandon raising animals for their own food, will invade Americans' personal privacy to a degree never before tolerated, will violate the religious freedom of Americans, whose beliefs make it impossible for them to comply, and will erase the last vestiges of animal welfare from the production of animal foods. The problem On April 25, 2005, the USDA DA released draft program standards. That's ST, draft program standards, and a draft strategic plan, which is called the plan, concerning the NEIS. And if you think the description sounds too bizarre to be true, you're encouraged to go to the USDA.gov/NAIS. Dennis, if you get this, USDA.gov/NAIS. Once again, everyone, USDA.gov/NAIS. And read the standards plan and check the citations. By January 1st, 2008, the NAIS will be mandatory. Every person who owns even one horse, cow, pig, chicken, sheep, pigeon, or virtually any livestock animal will be forced to register their home, including owner's name, address, and telephone number, and key to global positioning system coordinates for satellite monitoring in a giant federal database under a seven-digit premises ID number. Every animal will have to be assigned a 15-digit ID number, also to be kept in a giant federal database. The form of ID will most likely be a tag or microchip containing a radio frequency identification device designed to be read from a distance. The plan may also include collecting the DNA of every animal and or a retinal scan of every animal. And consider this, listeners, this comes back to the Biometrics Consortium. It's a federal agency. It's on our website, the Biometrics Consortium. It's been there for years on our website, and it connects dots to all of this. The owner will be required to report the birth date of an animal, the application of every animal's ID tag, every time an animal leaves or enters the property, every time an animal loses a tag, every time a tag is replaced, the slaughter or death of an animal, or if any animal is missing. Such events must be reported within 24 hours. Third parties, such as veterinarians, will be required to report sightings of animals. In other words, if you call a vet to your property to treat your horse, cow, or any other animal, and the vet finds any animal without the mandatory 15-digit computer-readable ID, the vet may be required to report you. If you do not comply with the USDA, or if you do not comply, the USDA will exercise enforcement against you. The USDA has not yet specified the nature of enforcement, but presumably it will include imposing fines and or seizing your animals. There are no exceptions under the USDA plan. You will be forced to register and report, even if you raise animals only for your own food or keep horses for drafts or for transportation. The negative effects, eradication of small farms. People with just a few meat animals or 40 cow dairies are already living on the edge financially. The USDA plan will force many of them to give up farming, and there is the crux of the problem, listeners. Farmers have been paid for years not to plant, and this is the control of food coming into place. The control of food and water is paramount to society and civilizations complying with draconian totalitarian directions that are being planned for us. And this is an extreme problem, and most of you realize that because you're listening here. Okay, let's go back to the phones and try to connect some more dots. Jeff in New Mexico, welcome.
Hello. Do you know if on the Agenda 21 are bicycle trails in cities and affordable housing part of Agenda 21?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you see these bike trails as a threat to driving a car, or do you have a problem with it? Or
I don't have a problem with it. I just have a problem with losing our automobiles and the expense of building bike paths on the roads. If you live in Oklahoma, it's impossible to travel on a bicycle because it's so far between food and home in most respects to Oklahoma.
So like Oklahoma City, they don't have bicycle trails around the city?
No.
Or?
No, not that I see. Maybe in the city, but I have not seen them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm sort of for bicycle trails. As a matter of fact, I was calling our city today about getting the job cleaning up some gravel that had washed down into a bike trail underneath the interstate.
Bike trails are fine, but as bike trails go in California, they've rewilded portions of California to the point that it's not even safe to ride a bicycle on these trails because they get attacked by wild animals.
Yeah.
So I have no adverse actions to bicycles. Absolutely not. They're very important, and I love my bicycle. I think it's very important for people to have bicycles, but I don't think you need to eliminate the automobile in favor of the bicycle. And many of these places that are being closed down, you're not allowed to ride a bicycle because it's a powered machine. It's powered by humans. So bicycles aren't even allowed in some areas.
Speaking of California, have you ever been to Borderfield State Park in San Diego? Right on the border there is a state park.
No.
It's all run down. I went there a couple of years ago, and they don't even keep it up anymore. It's like a big pile of dirt where, you know, you're supposed to pay your fee to go in the park, and then it's just, you can go in there free, but it's just Border Patrol agents driving around in there, and the metal, solid metal fence that goes down into the ocean is all rusted out. Like Americans are ashamed that that's our border and they don't want to have the state park anymore there.
Well, give them time. They'll restore it. You wait.
Now, I have another question that you might have some technical knowledge. Is it expensive to mine and process lithium? Where do they mine it and what other materials go into lithium ion batteries?
No, I'm not able to answer that question.
Because, you know, like electric cars, if I talked to a guy in Phoenix today that he says it costs for just 17 lithium-ion batteries from Valence lithium-ion module, it would be $20,000 for just 17 batteries that aren't even as big as a car battery.
Well, the expense of building batteries is cost prohibitive to having that kind of transportation, and people are not going to want to succumb to that direction because they can only drive so far before they have to recharge their batteries. And really, the internal combustion engine is not a bad thing, especially if it's maintained properly. A lot of people don't maintain their engines. They don't change the oil. And then you have the problem. When you don't change the oil often enough, then you have the problem.
Well, yeah. I was looking at James McKinney, or how do you pronounce his
last
name?
That's correct.
He says that these people in Heaven's Gate, you know, suicide, where they're all wearing Nike shoes. I always remember that picture. They all had the Nike tennis shoes and laid down and committed suicide like they were going to go to that comet.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that they were murdered as they went in there, that they didn't commit suicide.
I don't know what to say. Maybe so. I appreciate your thoughts, Jeff. Thank you. Let's go to Kim in West Virginia. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Yes.
This is the first time I've called in, and I was wanting to, you were talking about the Farmers Project, and I just saw in Grafton, West Virginia's paper last year, where they were wanting the small farms to register with the USDA.
Uh-huh.
And they were trying to give them, like, assistance if they needed it to, in order to find out where they were and get the life or everything. And at the time when I read it, I thought, oh, that's just another way to keep track of what's going on. And you just verified that for me there.
Yeah.
I wondered if you'd heard about the Amberview Project.
I have not. What is it?
That is started here in West Virginia at the West Virginia High Technology Consortium. And what it is a child's ID in school. They are taking pictures. They were trying to take 3D pictures, and they couldn't do it. It took too much time. So what they're doing is taking two-dimensional pictures, like a school picture. Then they're morphing them in with the 3D pictures, and that is going to go into a big database, and it will go in with the Amberview Alert, and it will be, you know, made available to everyone that'll be looking for the child in case they get kidnapped or disappear. And anyway, I just wondered if you knew about that.
Now, Kim, that's the Amber View Project?
Yes.
Amber View Project, A-M-B-E-R-V-I-E-W?
Yes.
Okay. And so can we go to AmberViewProject.com and find out about it?
Or I'm not sure about that. I got this out of a newspaper.
Okay, listeners, go to Google and punch in Amber View Project and see what you come up with. Amber View Project.
I know the company is out of Morgantown, West Virginia. It's called West Virginia High Technology Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
And they're calling it the National Biometric Security Project.
There you go. Right out of Agenda 21.
Yeah. And another thing I found out was, do you know about the Pentagon creating a database?
Tell us more.
Okay. They're collecting personal information about millions of Americans' kids. And yeah.
You mean America's children, don't you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, they're collecting all this personal information, and some of them, you know, as young as 16 years old, because of the Iraqi war, military recruitment lagging. That's the main reason they're doing this. They're putting all into the military databases, and they're wanting social security numbers, height, weight, ethnicity, grade point averages, email addresses, and phone numbers. And they're doing this through, they changed something in the No Child Left Behind so that the military has a right to come in and talk to these kids in the school, whether the family requests it or not. There is a U.S. representative, Mike Honda, and he's trying to get the Student Privacy Protection Act passed.
Uh-huh.
And this would mean that they cannot release any of the children's private information to military recruiters, only if the family requested it instead of the other way around. And I found that at congress.org.
Okay. Well, you're doing some tremendous research there. Very, very important. Very vital.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it. So do your search on Amber View Project, listeners, and see what you come up with. These directions are quite ominous. And as we have foreign crews picking up the pieces in Louisiana and Mississippi, foreign crews, listeners, I'm becoming more and more speechless as we're moving to the transition to the communitarian system. And I have right in front of me the paper of the Communist Party of Great Britain. I've covered it before. And this is where we are, listeners. Socialism is not a mode of production. It is a transition from capitalism to communism. Socialism is the communism that emerges from capitalist society. It begins as capitalism with a worker state. Socialism, therefore, bears the moral, economic, and ethical imprint of capitalism. It is the lower stage of communism. In general, socialism is defined as the rule of the working class. Paper of the Communist Party of Great Britain, listeners, the transition to the communitarian system. Communitarianism, Bush is one, Clinton is one. Connect the dots, people. The third way is in the Senate and the House of Representatives as well. We'll be back to wrap it up with one last call. Stay with us. Listeners, the shortwave moves to 11920 on the 3rd of October, WWRB, 11920, October 3rd. That's 11920, WWRB. Also, get used to forest fires, climate scientist warns. A forest fire researcher says the Yukon is likely to continue to burn in years to come as the effects of climate change turn up the heat in the woods. Keep in mind the not allowing the clear cutting of forests. which creates a tinderbox for forests to create fires. And the Global Fire Monitoring Center is on our website from the UN system. It's very important and vital for you to research the Global Fire Monitoring Center. Elizabeth in Michigan is the last caller. Welcome to the broadcast, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Chris. I heard on March 2nd of a shipment to Columbus, Ohio, of 20,000 chickens from Thailand.
Oh, really?
I called the Attorney General's office in Ohio. They confirmed it was true. Then they had given me a number for Washington, D.C. I wanted to go through my representative to Congress, so I did that. They made an inquiry on my behalf, and I got a letter June 7th. We are actively evaluating this matter. That's all I heard. Well, I heard after Katrina, a lab down in Louisiana was completely inundated and underwater, and they had experiments being conducted on monkeys down there. Well, all the monkeys, they said, were floating around in that water.
Mm.
Now, this gentleman talks about a dog flu emanating from New Orleans.
Right.
Sounds like a setup to me.
Sounds like a setup to me as well.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted you to know that.
I do appreciate that, Elizabeth. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a pandemic that's being created for us, and epidemic proportions in the future, very possible. The created scenario, the Hegelian dialectic, well-engineered today, as America doesn't understand what's being done to them. It's a silent war, a quiet war, being implemented through various means, and that's why at this juncture it's so paramount to understand and research and expose the fact that weather modification is a reality. The treaty from the UN system is on our website. Dennis has it up there. And it was done in 1977, put into force in 1980 or 79, I forgot when, in America. But the Environmental Modification Treaty, if you go to the CIA World Factbook, the CIA World Factbook has every country listed, every country in the world listed, and all the various treaties that they've signed on to and have not signed on to, and many countries have signed on to the InMod Treaty. So it's all there to be seen and researched by us, and it's our responsibility to do this. At this time, this is our job. It's our country. It's our freedom. And the world would like to have its freedom back. Most of the world is not as free as we are, and really, yeah, okay, we aren't as free as we think we are now. Certainly, that is the point. But you've got to be vigilant in your research and increasing our numbers. It's vital. Without that opportunity, we don't have an opportunity. So do not give up. Do not give up hope, and continue to research and read and spread the word. And good afternoon. God bless you all.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.